I have had a good time this month. I enjoy creative things, and I enjoy seeing this staff do what they do, man. It's pretty incredible. Amen? They're pretty awesome. We've got a great staff, and so blessed. And, you know, a good leader knows how to put creative and good people under him and around him to make him look good. Amen? I was talking to Pastor Ken the other day, and he said, I was bragging on everybody, and he said, you know, I wrote all the scripts for this thing. And I said, yeah, but you're executive pastor now, so you don't get the credit anymore. You're going to have to stop being a worship pastor and start being an executive pastor. I get the credit now. And just picking at him. But didn't he do a great job, man? It was just incredible. And Doug, and man, I think Summer Sheldon did Doug's makeup today. Man, we have the Grinch here. Amen? I mean, it is just incredible. But the first week of this series, we talked about a covenant between the Father and the Son and how it changed humanity. Second week, we talked about the angel Gabriel and how God still uses angels. Third week, for It's a Wonderful Life, we reminded you that God still works in the miraculous. And last week, we talked about the gift that keeps on giving, the gift of God's grace. And this week, the truth about trials. The truth about trials. If you have your Bible, please turn with me to James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. Everybody say joy. When you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect, which means brought to completion in the Greek, and complete, lacking nothing. Lacking nothing. Heavenly Father, anoint this word today. Give us the truth about trials. Lord, we know that we're either walking into one, going through one, or walking out of one. But the joy of the Lord is our strength. Lord, we know that our faith produces perseverance, that our faith builds our spirit man, that the things that we are going through and that we have to endure on this earth are only temporary, that we have a glorified body waiting on us. We have fellowship waiting on us. We have responsibility and purpose and power and prosperity that won't rust or fade away, waiting on us in glory. Lord, teach us to be heavenly minded. Teach us to set our minds on the things above, not on the things in front of us. Give us spiritual insight. Give us 2020 vision as we move forward into 2020. Lord, teach us to see things how you see them. Teach us to walk how you walk. Teach us to do your will and your work in all things. And all God's people said, amen. The reason I chose The Grinch That Stole Christmas for this message is because in the movie, he is rejected as a child. He is made fun of because of the way he looks. He is rejected by the Who's. And once he is rejected, he goes into isolation or seclusion for the rest of his life, and he becomes that which he hates. That is the truth of spiritual warfare in a nutshell. I can't tell you how many abusive dads abuse their children, and their children became abusive dads. I can't tell you how many people who I know who were molested who became molesters. I can't tell you how many people I've counseled that after many years of neglect became that which they hated. They became just like the person that hurt them, the person that abandoned them. Why? Because that is the way the enemy works. How many times have we seen a child get rejected, get abandoned, get abused, and live the rest of their life in the shadow of what happened to them. You see, every person in this room this morning has a choice. And you have this choice every single day. And the choice is quite simple. You can either accept what used to be, or you can press on, as Paul would say, to that which is ahead. You can either dwell on what used to be, or press on to that which is ahead, that which God has for you. You are not what they said about you. You are not what happened to you. You have a new identity. You have a new father, a new family, a new future in Christ Jesus. You are more than a conqueror. You are blessed. You are smart. You are not cursed. You are not always going to be the way you are right now. There is more for you in the kingdom of God. And the moment that you grab hold of the victory that is yours in Christ Jesus and you stop listening to the lie of the enemy, you will walk in the freedom that God has always wanted you to walk in. And we know the story of the Grinch. This one young girl finds it in her heart to restore him. And Christmas is restored and his spirit changes and it's a fun movie. But so many times in the Christian life, we don't deal with those hidden wounds. We don't deal with what happened to us. We don't deal with what was said about us. We walk in bitterness and hurt, and we carry it, and we're insecure, and we need to be affirmed, and we need to be coddled, because we were damaged somewhere back when, and we've never dealt with it. And what happens when you are damaged and you never deal with it is the strong man, the enemy, takes a strong hold of you and starts to dictate your actions, how you think, ruins your relationships, destroys your employment opportunities, wrecks your marriages, because you've allowed the enemy to come in through a circumstance, through something unfair that's happened to you, to a curse that was spoken over you. You've allowed the enemy to come in through your eye gate, your ear gate, into your spirit, and it wasn't even your fault. But you've allowed the enemy to come in. And now what the enemy has done is he's taken a stronghold of you. The Bible calls it strongholds because you never dealt with it. And so now you're wrapped in flesh, but you have a stronghold underneath that is twisting you around, and you can't experience the freedom that Christ has for you because you are still dealing with rejection, with pain, with hurt, with a lie. The enemy is a liar, friend. He is a murderer. He is a thief. He's the accuser of the brethren. When God puts a dream in your heart and there's a voice that comes through your spirit that says you're not smart enough, you're not good enough, you're not talented enough, that is not God. That is the accuser of the brethren lying to you because he is intimidated by your anointing. He is intimidated by what God has called you to be, by the light that could shine off of you. And you have to understand how to recognize the prince of the atmosphere, the voice of the enemy. He's always in to murder. When the wise men deceived King Herod, he wanted to kill all the male children under 2 years of age in all the districts. Let me tell you something. The enemy still into the murder of children. 60 plus million in the womb. The enemy's end game for you is to ruin you completely. Not partially, not halfway, not just lose your job. He wants you to lose everything. And it starts with a moment of compromise. It comes in, a stronghold takes place, and the next thing you know, everything's falling apart. Because you made way for the enemy to eat your lunch. Because you decided that you weren't worth it. That you weren't good enough to move on from what happened to you. That you weren't spiritual enough to forgive the person that abused you, that hurt you, that cursed you. At some point, you've believed a lie. And I'm here this morning because before we go into the new year, I don't want you to believe a lie anymore. I want you to know who you are in Christ. The devil has already been defeated. You have heard me tell you week after week that we need to stop asking God for that which he has already done. But it's okay to remind the devil that he's a loser. It's okay to remind him that we have the victory because of what Christ has done for us. It's okay to remind him what Paul said in Colossians, that he made a public spectacle out of the devil and over his demons by triumphing over them by the cross. It's okay to remind the devil that he has no legal standing. I don't think we should talk about him more than Jesus, and I don't think we should put him on a pedestal because he's a loser, he's a failure. And you have to understand that Jesus Christ already paid the victory for you to walk in the freedom that's yours. And so, in the movie, the Grinch, because of rejection and pain, ends up being someone who wants to steal joy from everyone else. He was damaged, now he wants to do damage. That's how the enemy works. The devil always comes after the dove in the Bible. In other words, whenever the Holy Spirit does something for you, with you or through you, you can take it to the bank. Pastor said it. The enemy is not happy, and he's coming to steal from you, to rob you of your joy, to ruin your Christmas, to ruin your moment, to ruin your kids. That's the way he works. Now, he's powerless if you understand his strategy, but that is the goal. To steal from you, to lie to you, and to eventually kill you. That's the end game. So when you recognize that strategy, you understand what's coming. When Jesus was baptized in the Jordan and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove, what happened? He was led into the wilderness to be tempted and tested by Satan. The devil always comes after the dove. After the revival in Jonah 3, the enemy attacks in Jonah 4. One day Elijah's calling the fire down from heaven. The next chapter, he's running like a crazy person from Jezebel. Because that is the process. And so if God's given you joy, you need to understand you're either about to enter into a trial, you're in the midst of one, or you're walking out of one. That's the nature of planet Earth. It's broken. It's temporary. Good times don't last forever. But I'm telling you, there's a kingdom that cannot be shaken, a world we know not of, that we can access while we're on earth and have some authentic joy, joy that the enemy can't even try to steal. You cannot allow the enemy to hijack the good things that God has planned for you, the God stuff. You can't allow trials to defeat you. Trials build your inner man. Trials strengthen you. That's why it says count it joy when you go through trials. Isn't that theologically weird? Yes. It's hard. It makes no sense. Spiritually, though, it can be accomplished. You think of the apostles, some of them crucified upside down. Murdered and martyred, still giving God praise. Some of them burned at the stake. You think about the Anabaptists who were tied to horses and drugged, with their body parts being torn apart for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they kept praising God. That doesn't make sense either. But there is a spirit man. There is a hero on the inside of you that no matter what you're going through, what hands you've been dealt, you may be like Job. Lost it all. God gave the enemy permission to take it all. But don't touch Job. And you get through it and you say, naked I came into this world, naked I leave. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That doesn't happen naturally. It happens supernaturally. When you've lost everything, when the enemy's taken his best shot at you, and you still find a way to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Some of you ought to praise him just to praise him this morning. You ought to just be thankful you're alive. You ought to just be thankful that you're forgiven, being thankful that you have another day, another year around the corner. God's been good to you. People want God to make life here better. And he can, and he has, and he temporarily does it during seasons. But you understand that God never created here to last forever. Here is not there, and he is about there, not here. Everything he is trying to deposit in you here is connected to there. And if you're connected to there, then you'll have everything you need here. Am I confusing you yet? When you are connected to heaven, God will speak to you and he will use you. The Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Let's define a stronghold quickly. It is an open door that corrupts your whole body, your whole mind, your whole house. Stronghold is when something happens to you. It could be an unfair circumstances, or it could be a decision that you've made, a poor decision, a sinful decision. You allow the enemy to come in, and the strong man, the enemy, takes a stronghold of your life, and these things infect your whole house, your whole temple. Not right away, but over time. Oftentimes it occurs in your mind. That is why the Bible says we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind's a very important thing. Your mind has a lot to do with what you believe about yourself, what you understand about the kingdom of God and his word. Your mind is a very powerful tool. And if you learn how to speak the things that God says in your mind, say those things over yourself, speak them over your family, it will transform your mind. But if you constantly repeat lies or curses that were spoken over you, you will walk in heaviness. I believe strongholds are hidden wounds that remain unhealed. And that's my definition. I didn't get that from somebody else. Hidden wounds that remain unhealed. Some of you, before we go into the new year, you need to forgive that person or those people that hurt you. You need to disconnect from the pain of your past completely. And you need to allow God to forgive you. And you need to forgive the people that have hurt you, because you are walking in the characteristics of the person that hurt you. The enemy is causing you to become like the person that hurt you the most. And you need to be free from that. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who has overcome the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. So if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you have the victory. Say, I've got the victory. So trials. Now I think of the Apostle Peter. I mean, on this rock, I'm going to build my church at Caesarea Philippi. He gets to Passover, the Last Supper. They're trying to figure out which one's the greatest, which one's going to be the closest, which one's going to get the best promotion, or which one's going to be at the right hand of Jesus. They're just like most religious people. They're totally missing it. And Jesus is trying to get them into the deep things of the kingdom. And he said to Peter, the enemy is going to sift you as wheat. But when you come back, when you return, is what the translation means, you serve the people. And he says, Lord, I'm going to be with you forever. I'm your best friend. I'm your ride or die. I'm not going to ever leave you. I'll never deny you. And Jesus said, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. Not me. Oh, and he kept it going through Gethsemane. They arrested Jesus, and he cuts the ear off of Malchus. And God puts it back together through the hands of Jesus. He's still keeping up that image. It reminds me of the Christian life for so many of us. Mountaintop and valley. You can go from being a hero to a zero quick. You can go from everybody praising you and affirming you to everybody being ashamed of you quick. And here he goes, defender of Jesus, recognized him as the Son of God, cuts the ear off a guy. And then, all of a sudden, he denies Jesus. Not only once, but every time Jesus said he would. Went back to cussing. It's what Matthew said. He said that Peter cussed when they asked him. Don't worry, I know what some of y'all are thinking. I'm not going to do it. But could you hear, hey, weren't you the one with that Jesus? I don't even know the blankety blank. And then Mary comes to the tomb, and when she sees Jesus, I love what he says, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but he says, you go tell the disciples, but he emphasizes Peter. Specifically, his restoration was on the heart of our Savior. And restoration's still on the heart of our Savior. He says, hey, you tell the disciples you've seen me and Peter, because I'm coming back for him. Because he may have given up on me, and he may have given up on himself, but I haven't given up on him. And that's the God I serve. I don't serve a God that just throws me away. I don't serve a God that just walks when I make a mistake. I serve a God that raises dead to life and that comes for his children and that's for restoration. That just wants to sit by the fire, and break a fast with me, hang with me. Isn't that what happened? Even after he heard, Peter, that Jesus was raised from the dead, even after he heard it, he said, well, he'll never have nothing to do with me again. I denied him. I screwed this up. I messed this up. He'll never have nothing to do with me again. And then he goes back to what he used to do. He's fishing. Well, heck, I just go back to what I used to do. I don't need this. I just go back to the way I used to be. I just go back, hang with who I used to hang with, go do what I used to do. He's fishing. Oh, but when he's fishing, man, he sees Jesus. Throws off his outer garment. Swims to the shore. Jesus said, break your fast. He said, Peter, do you love me? But, no, shut up, Peter. Do you love me? But. No. Do you love me? And feed my sheep. In other words, and some of you need to hear this in your spirit, just get back to your original identity. Return to your dreams. Return to Christ and his calling on your life. Return to his church. Return to his principles. Don't settle for less. Get back to doing that which you were put on earth to do. Some of you, you aren't walking in the kingdom purpose God's called you to. It's not because you're not smart enough. It's not because you're not good enough. It's because you've believed a lie. You've believed what people have said about you, what the enemy said about you. And you need to understand that you are capable to do what God has called you to do. I want you to dream again as we go into 2020. I want you to renew your hope in Christ. I want you to renew your commitment to his kingdom and the church. Be faithful. So many of you are. So many of you are. I want you to be investors. You know, it's not enough just to invest in sitting in a seat on Sunday morning. You got to go feed some sheep. You got to go fishing. You got to go find some folks. Invest in people. Invite people. Be an agent of restoration and reconciliation. Don't allow people to live in defeat. Don't allow people to give up on their dreams. Don't allow people to walk away from Jesus. You say, well, they deserve to be punished. Well, God will punish them. You restore them. Isn't that what the Bible says? Those of you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. You know, I'm always amazed by religious people. They think they got to play God. God does not need your help. God doesn't need your help. The people who are held accountable for what he's called them to do will be held accountable. You've got plenty to do looking in your own mirror. Let God be God. You be you. Trials. What can we learn from the Apostle Peter and his restoration, being one of the greatest pastors and martyrs for the faith, going from denial to dominion? First, you need to understand that God permits trials in our life. There is hardly a child of God who has ever lived who's not gone through trials. You are not a victim. You're not being picked on. Bad things happen to God's people. Unfair circumstances happen. The greater the anointing, the more hidden pain. You know, when I used to see pastors of large ministries and leaders that I admired or coaches, I used to think, man, they've got it made. And now, when I see people I aspire to be or I admire their qualities, now I think, oh my God, what hell did they go through to get there? What pain and unfair, demonic junk did they have to defeat to walk in that manner? My perspective has changed. But yes, God permits trials in our lives. God permitted Satan to sift Peter as wheat. What does it mean? It means to compress and to squeeze and tear everything that won't produce. That's what it means to sift someone as wheat. God permitted Satan to do that. So maybe what you're going through, I know this isn't popular. Maybe God's allowing it. Maybe there's some stuff that needs to be sifted off you. Maybe there's some flesh that needs to die. Maybe there's some forgiveness that needs to take place. Maybe there's some kingdom that needs to be experienced. Maybe God is allowing all of these circumstances in your life to be the road that leads one person to Jesus. Because if he's eternal and we live in the natural, then seven funerals of saved people that leads to one lost person getting saved and spending eternity in heaven makes sense to an eternal God. But it doesn't make sense to an earthly-minded individual that lives in three dimensions. But to an eternal God, allowing things to be sifted and broken and damaged to bring one person into his kingdom, it's worth it. So maybe the hell you're going through or you've been through, it's not fair. Maybe it really doesn't have anything to do with you at all. Maybe somebody's watching you give God praise in the midst of your cancer. Maybe somebody's watching you love that special needs child that God gave you and help other people. Maybe God's using you to shine a light in the community and serve when you really want to just lay in bed because you hurt so bad. Maybe, just maybe, somebody's going to watch your life, your testimony, and come to know Jesus because of it. And when you enter into heaven, there'll be a soul winner's crown waiting on you because people came to Christ because of your walk. Things I've learned about trials, truth about trials, God permits them. Number two, God controls them. If you're saved, God is in control. Just say that. God is in control. Each level of sifting for Peter, God set the boundaries, just like Job. There's boundaries. God, if he permits it, and you haven't allowed it through your own thinking or decision making, if this is something God's involved in, a sifting God's involved in, there are boundaries. Satan can't kill you. You will live through it if you don't quit. And you will reign victorious on top of it. You just have to press through. God is in control. He permits the trials. He's in control of them. Number three, he designs trials in our life. Why? Because he wants us to overcome. He wants you to end up being as close to Jesus as you've ever been, so that when you respond and when you walk, your light will shine and reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. He controls them. He designs them. But I close here. He removes them. You think the Apostle Peter thought at the Last Supper that he would ever be tempted or torn in such a way that he would deny Jesus? No. He was confident in his relationship with Christ. He was confident in his love for Christ. Some of you are confident in your love for Christ. You are overconfident. And you can't even imagine ever making a mistake, ever messing up, ever denying the power of God. Peter was arrogant about it. And as soon as Jesus said it, he denied it. But let me say this. Your trials are coming to an end. Your trials that you faced in 19, that season is over. There's a new season waiting on you. And yes, there will be trials in the future, but you need to understand right now that the same God that permits them is the God that removes them. What did he tell Peter? Feed my sheep. What had to occur? Repentance and intimacy. And let me say this. The greatest thing you can do heading into 2020 is forgive the people that have hurt you. Forgive yourself. Forgive God. You say, explain that to me. You realize how many people, I'm talking Christians, are mad at God. You can't receive anything from God because you've never forgiven him. Because you feel like he permitted or allowed something that happened to you when you were younger, and he really didn't. It was just a demonic, unfair circumstance that he will use for his glory when you get past it. Forgive God. Forgive others. Forgive yourself. Get free. Get free in 2019 so you'll walk in it in 2020. I want you to walk in supernatural freedom like never before. The other thing I want to mess with you about spiritually, then I'm going to do some ministry. Some of you, you've asked God to forgive you like 1,262 times for the same thing, okay? And you keep asking because you still feel worthless. You are forgiven. He remembers it no more. But you are still carrying guilt. Psalm 51 changed my life. When David committed adultery, killed his best soldier to cover it up, all of those things. If you read that King James Version, it says this. When he's crying out to God to forgive him, and he'd cried out before for 20 chapters, he said, God not only forgave me of my sin, but he forgave me of the guilt of my sin. So what some of you need to do is realize your sins are forgiven, but you can be forgiven of the guilt of your sins too. Forgive yourself of the guilt. The Bible says, therefore, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If we're going to be free, and if we're going to see people find their purpose, and we're going to love people, help them find freedom, and we're going to walk in unity, we got to be free. We can't be free and fully alive if we're not free. And God's already promised me some things for 2020, but we need to understand freedom in this house, complete freedom, so that we can have it and offer it to others. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes. Every head bowed and every eye closed. First thing you can do this morning, you say, Pastor Ronnie, I've sinned in my life. I made a lot of bad decisions. If I died today, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I don't know that I'm at peace with God. I have turmoil in my spirit and I need Jesus. If that's you, I just want you to do what the Bible says to do, and that's repent, ask God to forgive you, and come into your heart and save you. Just pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus. That's right, dear Lord Jesus. Lord, forgive me of my sins. Lord, please come into my heart and save me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Yes, fill me with your Spirit. And use me for your glory. Use me for your glory. I'm going to have Pastor Angie, and just Pastor Angie today, come down front, if she would. I want to minister to those who are dealing with strongholds today, but I'm going to do that after this. If you need to be saved, or you prayed with me to receive Christ, we're going to baptize the second Sunday in January. You want to connect with this church. You want to help us walk in the freedom that's ours. You want to become a member of Abba's House. You want to be saved. I'm going to have you come and just be with Pastor Angie. We're going to take just a few minutes for anybody that needs to come do that. She'll lead you outside. So I'm going to have everyone stand on their feet. There may be some people next to you that need help walking down. They need somebody to go with them. Be a son, be a daughter. Ask someone if you can walk them down. We're going to worship for just a minute, and then I want to do ministry over anyone that's hurting today. But if you prayed to receive Christ, you want to connect with this church, help us go where God's called us to go, you come as we worship the Lord.